World's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Got to clear my throat here a little bit today. I don't know what's going on. Got a little bit of the hacks. Thanks for joining us here. I got a new computer. Well, I tell you a story on that one. Once you get a new computer, then you got to remember all your passwords and go into what a nightmare that has been. But I do have went to Best Buy. I should go to Staples. I get Staples points. I should have gone to Staples and get it. But anyway. New computer, back on my feet. I'm going to tell you, we're addicted to computers. We're addicted to them. We're addicted to technology. I haven't had a laptop. I haven't had a computer about 6 days. 6 days without a computer. Now I could jump on. I could come down here in the studio and get on the computer. But you know, just to go grab your computer and check for some. Man, we're so dependent on these things. And how about these things? Huh? How dependent are we on these stupid things? Holy Toledo. Makes you forget. I wonder who came up with Holy Toledo. That'd be a good research project. Why not Holy Cleveland? Holy Dayton? Holy Indianapolis? Holy Hebron? But anyway, Holy Toledo. Man, my life has been kind of a crazy. This is the craziest story ever. Are you ready? So yesterday, most of you know that I was flooded in my studio. And I got all kinds of advice from everybody. Call the plumber, do this, pull that up, put that thing in. I appreciate it. Everybody giving me good advice on how to do it. And I couldn't believe it. So why would, it's frozen outside. Why would water be coming down into my multi-million dollar studio? Doesn't make sense. So yesterday, I was just kind of doodling around, calling the plumber, waiting for the plumber to come for what, $190, whatever he's going to charge. I caught it before he came here. I walked out on my back deck. Many of you have been to our house, know my back deck, my little black deck. I go out the kitchen, out the back deck, and I hear, what is that? I heard water running. What's going on? And I looked around the corner, and my water hose was on full speed. And the water from my water hose was running down the foundation of my house into my basement. Now, here's the question. How long? I've been gone 5 days. How long has my water been on that hard? And I mean, there's no way that you would notice it, right? No way. So the culprit's probably one of my grandkids. But I'm trying to think, when was it warm? When was it last warm enough they'd be outside with a hose? But there it was, laying right beside the foundation, and that thing on full go. Pump right down in it. So I'm drying up down here a little bit. Praise the Lord. Got that all figured out. And Mark Trump just sent me an email where Holy Toledo came from. Hang on, Mark. Holy Toledo. Got to mean something here. What does it mean? Well, Holy Toledo is one of the most well-known cities. The origins of Holy Toledo are not widely known and often misattributed. When I learned the real history of seeing it, made me love using it even more. I'll read it later. Okay, Mark, and maybe I'll share that tomorrow. Hey, look, I want to go someplace today that's really, it's really kind of uncomfortable, but I don't want it to be uncomfortable. I want to do this. I want to raise my hand out there. Okay, anybody else can raise their hand if they want to as well, and say I have done some unbelievably awful things in my past. Anybody else want to raise their hand? I've done some things in my past that I would not want anybody to know. I think we probably all have. And if I would be honest with you, most of it probably done after I'd had a few too many beers. And so, you know, you get, For some reason, when you start drinking, you just go stupid, don't you? You don't think straight anymore. And so I was watching a little, not a whole lot of it yesterday because it was kind of busy yesterday, but I was watching Pete Hegseth. I was watching him be tortured by those witchy ladies in the Senate. And over things he had done in his past. Did anybody watch that other than me? I didn't watch all of it. But those cackling, witchy lady senators, it was unmerciful. It was unmerciful. And I'm sitting there and I'm watching, watching Pete Hegseth trying to explain why he said something 15 years ago or why he did something 20 years ago. I'm, come on, is that really where we want to live? Huh? Every one of us being held accountable for something we said or did 20 years ago, 25 years ago. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me? But that's where we are, isn't it? And you got all those drunk. I'm just saying. In fact, one of the senators said, maybe it was House of Rep. That was it. Senate yesterday. It was Senate yesterday. One of them said, "You dudes, you wouldn't pass this inspection if you had to sit in that chair." And we all got to ask you questions over your past. Ain't one and none of you that would be able to, you wouldn't be able to survive it. And so there they are doing what? Dissecting somebody's past. Let me tell you this right now, up front, you wouldn't have to dig very deep in my life to find things that I wish I hadn't done. Anybody say amen? That'd be you? Now,
amen.
The good thing is it's under the blood. That's what salvation is. You know, the unsaved world doesn't understand salvation. They don't understand it. And actually, a lot of Christians don't really understand salvation. And I think we all have a responsibility that when we've done something that brought damage or harm to someone else, after we get saved, we have an obligation to do the best we can to try to make it right, to apologize, to say I'm sorry, to whatever. I think we all have an obligation to do that. We can't right every wrong. We know that, right? We know that. But I was thinking about me. Now, I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about you, although the story I'm about to tell you could be you. It could be you. I want you to think about something really, really stupid you did in the past. And then ask yourself, what led you up to that? At some point, you made a decision to do it even though you knew you shouldn't. And all wrong behavior begins with wrong thinking, right? The person who's driving 75 in a 50 zone, he knows it's against the law, but he doesn't think he'll ever get caught. Right? The guy who starts an online chat with somebody he doesn't even know, doesn't know it's going to develop into an illicit relationship. That wasn't the intent. That's just kind of where it ended up. The guy who's ripping people off at his job knows it's wrong, but he doesn't think it's ever going to get caught. People don't go out and do things knowing they're going to get caught. That's why the Bible tells us to take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bring it into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So when I see something that I think I would like to do, say, I wonder if I could go, you know, I've been looking at that old thing's just been sitting there on that guy's porch. He never uses that. I could slip in there and not get that and take that thing. He probably wouldn't even know it's gone. I can take that home, right? That's so much of our past. Didn't think we'd get caught. Somebody give me a thumbs up so somebody's out there with me. All wrong thinking leads to wrong behavior. And I came down and I kind of got the soaking wet studio ready to go here this morning. And you know what the Holy Spirit said to me? So if somebody wants to take this personally, you can. But this is not intended or meant for anybody personally. All right? But I think it's important. So I'm going to pull up here, and I want you to do this for me, Spence. I want you to pull up number two. Number two. I said this to my wife. I was in changing out of my robe into my shirt. And I said, honey, look up, flee immorality. Look, where is that, honey? She got on her computer and she's looking in. 1 Corinthians 6 says, dare any of you having a matter against another go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints? In other words, why are we suing Christians? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? Stop. Is that what? Is this real? And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge even the smallest matters? Pete Hegseth. Is he now, you know, he gave glory to Jesus Christ, claimed Christ yesterday. Is he now worthy? Know you not that we shall judge angels? What? Judge angels? You mean the angels are doing bad stuff? How much more things that pertain to this life? See, they're telling us, don't judge. Who are you to judge? We're not to judge. What? The Bible says just the opposite. If then you have judgments of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge who are least esteemed in the church. What does that mean? You don't always have to go to the potentates up on the elder board. Some of the least esteemed in the church can give you better wisdom than those guys on that elder board. You're not saying amen. I speak to your shame. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brothers. By the way, to judge doesn't mean to condemn. To judge means to evaluate. You've got two guys together. The judge decides which one's right and which one's wrong, which one's telling the truth. You're not bringing any condemnation or anything. No, you're judging, right? But brothers go to law with brother, and that before the unbelievers. We sue people. We Christians go to court, and we have non-believers on the jury. Non-believing judge, non-believing prosecutor. And Jesus said, what's wrong with you all? Now, therefore, there is utterly a fault among you because you go to the law one with another. Why do you not rather take wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourself to be defrauded? No, you do wrong and you defraud your brothers, it says. Do you not know that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Hang on. Gotta stop there. Time for a real quick little lesson. The kingdom of God isn't heaven. It's not heaven. This is not talking about going to heaven. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Second Corinthians? Is it Romans? Kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. And you cannot walk in the kingdom of God if you are in a sinful state. Stay with me. Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Hey, by the way, 11, some of y'all. And such was some of y'all. You used to do that stuff. Raise your hand out there. You used to do that stuff. Go back up there again, Spencer. Go to number 9. Huh? Know you not the unrighteous shall inherit the kingdom of God. Fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers. Anybody, huh? Mm-hmm. Yep. Thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers. Huh? They ain't going to get in the heaven of God. Why? Because you are constantly under conviction. Can't enter the righteousness, peace, and joy of the Holy Ghost. Okay? And verse 11, and such were some of you, but me, Pete Hegseth, been washed, sanctified, justified in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. And all things are lawful unto me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be bought under the power of any of those things. Meat for my belly and the belly for meat, but God shall destroy both and them. Now, the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. And the Lord is for the body. This is unbelievable, isn't it, folks? You get born again. The melding of Christ and your body, what it's supposed to be. Scroll on down, Spencer. I'm almost there, I think. And God hath both raised up the Lord and raised up by his own power. Know ye not that your bodies are members of Christ? And shall I then take members of Christ, make them members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know ye not that which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Verse 18. That's where I'm going. Flee fornication. Because every sin that a man does is outside of his body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. Boom. What? You don't know that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost? Huh? You don't know that? You're bought for the price? Glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Flee immorality. Now, I'm going to give a word of caution. I think people can take it. People can take it. You can take it personally and get mad if you want to. Okay. Some of y'all doing some stuff you shouldn't be doing. Huh? Yep. Some of y'all doing some stuff you shouldn't be doing. You know, I was thinking about Pete Hegseth. What a name, Hegseth. And I'm watching him yesterday, and I'm thinking, boy, I wish he could do some things over. And he's saved by the blood of the Lamb, yada, yada, yada. But I'm watching some of my, I'm watching Christians fall. I've watched the temptation. You jump on this internet, boy, are there ever temptations there. Would anybody want to disagree with me on that? I got naked women. My wife said to me the other day, what is that doing on your Facebook page? I said, honey, I don't know. I was searching for this and all this stuff keeps coming up. Anybody with me on that? So if I'm not strong enough to have that stuff come up on my screen and keep it from leading me to pornography, break the freaking computer. Flee immorality. Run from it. Run for your life. Get away from it. Why? Because boy, oh boy, where is that, Lord? Look, hey, Spencer, somebody really quickly, I'm going to show you something. When sin hath conceived. Somebody look that up. Look that up. When, I love you all. I'm just telling you the truth here, okay? Come on now. When sin hath conceived. Okay, go to Book of James. Thank you. Go to James, is it James 1? Yeah, pull it up there. I'm going to show you something. Oh, my goodness. Go to about verse 10. Hey, folks, I love you, okay? I love you. I'm going to tell you this. Some of you are dangling and dingling, and stuff should be dangling and dingling. Maybe it's drinking. Maybe it's porn. Maybe I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. I'm just telling you, huh? Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. What? Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. In other words, doesn't give in. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither does God tempt any man. But every man and woman, when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Spencer, good word. Was Webster say enticed is? What is enticed? Instigated to evil. Seduced by promises or persuasions. Persuaded. Allured. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life. For the Lord hath promised to him that let no man say, when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God does not tempt with evil, neither does he tempt any man. But every man, when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Watch this. When lust hath conceived. Oh my goodness. You know what that is? Lust produces babies.
Boom.
When lust hath conceived. Spencer, what's conceived? Hey, you can get mad if you want to. I'm trying to rescue some of y'all. Huh? You ain't getting away with it. You think you are. Think you are. Conceive? Just maybe try conceive. In the womb. Formed in the womb, framed in the mind, devised, imagined, understood. When lust has conceived. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. There ain't nothing more powerful in the world than lust. And when it has conceived, it already produces a baby. And what is that baby? Well, that's a sin baby. Brings forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. I was watching Pete Hegseth. They kept dragging that old dead body up in front of him. That he had lust, and it conceived, and it brought forth sin. And when it was over, they're still dragging the dead body before him. You understand, friends? We understand the difference between Christ forgiving us and this old, Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? And I'm going to tell you, some of you, you're getting away with stuff you shouldn't be doing. Say, Coach, how do you know that? I just know. I struggle with it. We all struggle with it. Some of you are putting yourselves in positions where you ain't going to be able to, Does anybody feel like I'm convicting you? I'm not trying to convict you. I'm trying to rescue you. Because just think about the number of guys in Washington, D.C. who do not want what they did exposed. Can I tell you something else? One of the reasons I got in trouble. Coach Norm's out there listening today. He'll know this. One of the reasons I got in trouble when I was coaching at London High School is because one of our football players came to me and said, Coach, I can't quit smoking. Now, hey, what do you do if you're the coach? Smoking is against the rules. Remember this, God's law is protective. So this guy came to me, said, Coach, I can't quit smoking. I helped him work through it. And then I made the mistake of going to a position of authority above me and sharing with that position of authority above me what had just happened. Anybody know what happened then? You got it. A firestorm breaks out because why? They wanted him punished. Booted from the team. The only thing that would go on good in this kid's life was the football team. And when I went through that crap with the ACLU and all that, I can't tell you how many times the administration brought up the fact that I was covering for one of our players. Was I? I suppose in a sense I was. Remember, God's laws are protective. I wasn't not ratting him out because I needed him to play. I didn't rat him out because he asked for help. I'm going to warn you that when you, even with your best intentions, do something wrong, you're going to get caught. And you're just going to have to be able to evaluate before the Lord, Lord, did I do that as protection or did I do it hoping to get away with it? And to the stuff you're dangling with out there, you don't want to be exposed. You better stop it. Pull up number, which one is it? One. I hope I'm not making him, I'm trying to save some of you. Huh? Some of you are gotten messed for the stupidest thing, and you said, I knew I shouldn't have done that. I knew it. So Betty bought me a fuzz buster. And now every time I use a fuzz buster, I feel guilty because it's premeditated sin. That's the way I see it. I'm going to plug that sucker in and I'm going to go as fast as I can and the devil won't be able to get me. But the Bible says that it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little foxes in your life, in all of our lives. It's the little thing. They don't seem like big things, but it's the little things. The Song of Solomon, the speaker says, catch for us the foxes, the little foxes. It's the little foxes that ruin the vineyards, our vineyards that are in bloom. It might seem strange that in the middle of a romantic, tender conversation, the matter of a fox hunt should arise. As with much of the imagery in this beautiful poem, the foxes are symbolic. Solomon's readers consider foxes to be destructive animals that could destroy valuable vineyard. Folks, what's the vineyard of your life? What are you planting in your life? Don't let those foxes come in there. As this Solomonite who and her beloved verbalized the love for each other, we are suddenly confronted with the need to catch the foxes that spoil the vines. I'm not going to read down through all this, folks. I'm going to just tell you something. Take a good, under the Holy Spirit, a good evaluation of your life and say, Lord, show me and help me stop that. If it's pornography on the computer, I don't know what it could be. Quit producing sin babies. Sin, when it hath conceived, brings forth death. Sometimes it's death of relationships. Sometimes it's death of reputation. Sometimes it's everywhere. So you got a gambling habit, do you? You have a gambling habit? Well, damn it, stop gambling. It's bringing forth death. It's killing your relationships. As you look around, I'm about done here. As you look around your life, stop it. Stop it in your own personal life. Because I'm going to tell you this, you're going to reach the point where your conscience ain't going to function anymore. Been getting away with it so long, your conscience ain't functioning anymore with it. Ain't nobody going to know, and boom, something happens. Now I'm speaking to you today not as a guy who's got it all together, because, we all struggle, don't we? We all struggle. We all do. Flee immorality. That's that. Hey, friends, flee immorality. Flee immorality. You're going to produce a sin baby. And then you're going to be sorry. and you want to repent. But they're all, everybody's going to be pointing at, oh yeah, what happened to their marriage? What happened to their marriage? Oh, she did this, or he did it. Come on, you're grown-ups. Stop producing sin babies. All right, somebody can come on and yell at me. I'm just telling you the truth. Just telling you the truth. Why? Because it's me. You know what my wife said to me yesterday? Because I told my wife, this is the best thing to do, by the way. I told my wife, honey, these women keep popping up on my Facebook page. I want you to know I'm not looking for them. I want you to know I'm not. And so I get my new computer. What she say to me? Don't be looking at those women. That's a warning from the Holy Spirit. I'm not looking at those women, but oh, they're enticing. With me? You guys with me? So you look at every aspect of your life, what's going on in your life, where you're cutting the corners. And you could be cutting the corner in just the most simple way. And I'm going to tell you something. When you get caught cutting the corners, they make you look like you are the biggest scoundrel that ever came down the pike. So that's my warning to y'all today. Flee immorality. Flee immorality. Have nothing to do with the unfruitful works of darkness. Flee them. Flee them. I've often thought of it. How destructive would it be if I got caught in, I don't know, they caught me in a homosexual relationship? What would that do to y'all? And it all happened because I thought I'd get away with it. John Lovin, come on in, John.
Hey, thanks, Coach. I just want to say something short. I want to applaud you for, being confident enough to talk about this stuff, because you don't hear it in the church. Most pulpits won't talk about sin, and it's part of the Christian life. You know, we're all making mistakes, and we have to face reality, right? And you said it before. I looked up that word in James, where it says sin brings forth death once it's fully conceived. It's figurative. And it represents, it's not exact, it's not always figurative, but it's also literal either way. So it could bring forth death in a relationship, but it can also bring forth death in your physical life, you know?
Telling it brings back death of reputation, death of relationships, death of impact, death of, I mean, just all kinds of stuff. It's not always physical death, right? It's not always physical death.
And I'm also thinking of Isaiah 59, too. It says that your sins have separated you from God. Wow. So it's designed to keep us from God. So, hey, you nailed it today, and I just want to say I appreciate it. God bless.
Thanks, John. And stop it right now, because I hear some of you saying, has he been talking to so-and-so? Does he know what I've been doing? Well, I can tell you this. Holy Spirit knows. Doesn't matter whether I've been talking to it or not. Holy Spirit, you ain't getting away with it. You ain't getting away. Will you stop it? You are not getting away with it, okay? You're not getting away with it. You're not getting away with it. You just think you are. But at some point, that sin is going to conceive. And it's going to be a sin, baby. And you ain't going to be able to get away from it. Wow, greed, it's not just things you do. My old Catholic training, I remember they taught me to repent of things I did and things I didn't do. The sin of omission and the sin of commission, both, right? Sin babies. I love you, I'm trying to save you. Somebody come in here. I got more to go to here. Anybody want to comment on that? I'm going to. Flee immorality. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Come on. One of the Allisons. Come on in here. Hey, look. It just started so simple. I never dreamed it would get. I just placed one bet. I just placed one bet on the Buckeyes. And I won. And then the next thing you know, I wanted to bet again next week. And I wasn't hurting anybody. Go ahead, Dave.
great teaching this morning, Coach. Thanks. It's interesting, the word says to confess your faults to one another. The thing that I've struggled with is being able to trust my brothers and sisters in Christ.
Oh, buddy.
Because I know that, just like Pete, somewhere down the road, I fear that they'll use it against me, try to destroy me.
Yep.
And one other thing, Coach, when you were talking, it reminded me of, if you read the biography of John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace, and actually he wrote that as a poem. A lot of people don't realize he didn't write that as a song. He wrote it as a poem, but he was a key player in having slavery abolished in England. And when he went before the parliament to testify, the night before, one of his friends came to him and said, John, they are going to bring your past up and they're going to destroy you right in front of everyone. And so he went home and he told his wife everything that he'd ever done. And they had a moment, and he said, I confessed everything to my wife that I've ever done.
Wow.
And the next day he got up, and before anybody said anything, he stood there and told the people everything that he'd ever done in his life. But what Pete failed to do, what John did, but he said, thank you, Lord, that Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross, and I'm forgiven for those things that I've done. But I admit that I did every one of them. Wow. But they're under grace. And that cut him right off of the knees.
Man, oh, man, oh, man, oh, man, huh?
Great testimony. And there's what Pete, he had a great opportunity to share that. And he could have looked back at Tim Kaine and said, Tim, you're right. I did every one of those things. But they're covered in the blood. So I've
That's
asked.
Right. That's right.
Joe Biden with his. Where's Bill Clinton? Has he been covered in the blood? Because they've done the same thing, and maybe you have as well.
Yeah. Pete Hegseth, if they had me on there and they'd be interrogating me like that, Dave, I'd want to say, oh, yeah, you guys don't know a third of it. If you knew some of the other stuff that I did, right? But what does the Bible say? Be careful, your sin will find you out. Now, I'm going to touch on something else that's going to make some of you pick up your toes. But it's okay, because I'm going to tell you the truth. Gossip is a sin. Gossip is a sin. And I'm telling you this personally for me. Like if Chad calls me and Chad wants to talk about, I don't want to talk about that because it sounds like I'm going to be gossiping, and I don't want to do that. I don't want people calling other people and gossiping about me. I'm not going to do it to somebody. I'm not picking on Chad. I'm just saying, right? And so we have to be careful, because in our information gathering, whatever that means, it turns into gossip. You know what I noticed about Coach Dave? Have you guys ever noticed? And then what? Then you call somebody else. Hey, I was talking to Jerry. And you know what Jerry said? Have you ever? Come on, you know that goes on. You know that goes on. That's character assassination. And I want you to know, I do everything I can to avoid that. Everything I can. I want to say one other thing. Maybe it's kind of come clean here today. Come clean. Michelle would testify to this. I tell Michelle, I'm not I'm not a cockhound. You better know this about me, sweetheart. When I'm away from you, my heart's all yours. I just want you to know that. That I do everything I can not to put myself in uncomfortable situations. I want you to know that. And you try to reverse it and say, golly, what would I feel like if, you guys know what I'm talking about, right? So that's human nature, man. That's what that's why Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Who will? Man, it's all our carnal man. That you cannot kill that carnal man. You got to control him. You can't kill him. What does it say? Immorality, flee it, because lust, when it hath conceived, brings forth a baby, a sin baby. Bring up number four. Okay, I'm going to change. How about this one? How about this one, folks? Number four. You ready? Oh, boy. No, that isn't four, is it? That's three. There you go. Folks, did you know this? Did you know that COVID is passed through sperm? By the way, I had the honor of doing an hour on Dr. Sherry Tenpenny's show yesterday. And I'm going to get Dr. Sherry back on. We talked about some of this. Did you know that, folks? Did you know that the sperm... Wow. Play this.
Right. It's the boy, Dr. Lewis here, bringing the next series to you. If you follow the videos, remember I was speaking about trying to prove the transmission of a person, a vaccinated person, having sex with an unvaccinated person, and the unvaccinated person start to experience side effect. And when we take a sample of the unvaccinated person blood, it's actually looking like a vaccinated person blood. So we're just going to actually prove that today with our data. As you can see here, the blood is looking like a vaccinated person blood, whereby we're seeing all the fermentation behind the plasma of the blood. And also in some samples before, we was actually seeing the discoloration of the blood as well too, as we can see here. An unresponsive immune system. We are not seeing much white blood cells present and working for him. And then we saw some candida. There was, as you can see, we see the blood here. There were some parts of the sample where we were seeing mass level of candida. And when we started to see that amount of candida, mean that the white blood cells is unresponsive for a period of time. This is one of my patients. He was with me for a while, about 2 years. Yeah, 2 years. So we know, we have a good idea how his health is. So when he started experiencing discomfort and the way that he was feeling, we decided to run some tests. And we see in the course here to why he's feeling, how he's feeling. And when we look back on it with the blood work, and when he started to feel like that is after having sexual intercourse with a vaccinated person. So yes, we finally proved it that it can spread through sexual intercourse. So we're going to do some more videos with this to prove that, because we already proved that we could correct the blood. So we won't be doing any more videos with that. Be more diverse.
Your blood is contaminated, can be contaminated through sexual intercourse. Just like how Hey, folks, listen. You better understand this. Seed of the serpent, seed of the woman, the devil is after the seed. You get it? Do you get it? Do we have any idea? And one of the conversations I had with Dr. Sherry yesterday, she told me 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I can't remember how long it was. So I'll get her back on here. She told me 3 years ago, Coach Dave, the impact of these shots are not going to show up for 3 or 4 years. And in 3 or 4 years, as this thing continues to spread, we're going to see all kinds of physical issues as a result of it. And here we are. Because why? The devil is after the seed. We were created in the image of God. And the devil hates God. Man, oh man, oh man. And then I'm going to show you another thing, and then I'm going to open it up here. And I got more I can do. Go to number three. I'm trying to get a hold of Dr. Artis again on nicotine. We were talking about that today. Why aren't any neurologists telling you about nicotine patches, benefits of nicotine to humans? What? So here's Dr. Brian Artis. He's a, as my friend used to say, choir practor, like he was in church choir. He's a chiropractor. Stop a minute. I went to the bone cruncher. That's what I call him. I went to the chiropractor the other day. And when I went to the chiropractor, he showed me minerals and vitamins that I was low on. Doctors don't do that. He showed me. Said, and so he ordered this and ordered this and ordered this. Said, you're fighting gout because this is down, this is down, this is down. I went to the hospital. I went through that CAT scan, and they sent me home with Tylenol. Right? So Brian Artis, this is amazing. very short. It's only 57 seconds. Go ahead.
Why aren't any neurologists telling you about nicotine patches or nicotine gum or nicotine vegetables? There's a reason. And then did you know also that it's been proven to cure glioblastoma tumors? In less than 72 hours, they can dissolve it just using two doses of nicotine intravenously over a 72-hour period. Well, are there oncologists using nicotine intravenously to reverse glioblastomas, which represents half of all brain tumors right now being diagnosed and called turbo cancers? And if not, why not? How come we can go find this information in the published medical literature? We can show you what they published and what they found. And how come science found in labs and peer-reviewed and approved and published, how come it doesn't make its way into the sight and ears and clinics of medical professionals around the world? Type 1 diabetes is cured with nicotine, just so you know, we can show you the studies. And then autism in adults and in teenagers, they have found the violent behavior they often express, the antisocial behavior within 7 days of a 7 milligram nicotine patch. But why aren't any
dementia, nicotine? Hey, look, I don't know. Makes sense, right? People said, well, coach, cigarettes kill you. I said, no. Cigarettes don't kill you. Tobacco doesn't kill you. It's the ingredients they put into the tobacco that makes you addicted. You're not addicted. You don't get addicted to tobacco. You get addicted to the stuff, the chemicals they put in the tobacco. And why do they put addictive stuff into the cigarettes? Because they want you addicted.
Boom.
Flee immorality again, right? Flee it. Stop it. Judah, come in. I'm sorry. I know I'm all over the place today, right?
Coach, no, this is a this show is very believable, unbelievable that nobody else in the world is talking about the topics that you talk about publicly on a national level.
Yep.
And when you get into, you know, dementia, things like, what's the other one that's out there for thinking about
Alzheimer's?
Alzheimer's. Yeah, Alzheimer's and dementia. And ivermectin, nicotine, and coconut oil. Those three things are technically a cure if you read the NIH papers and what Dr. Artis is talking about. Case closed.
They're starting to recommend it now, we're finding, Judah. They're actually starting to recommend ivermectin. Did you guys know that? They're actually starting to do that. Parasites and stuff like that. Cancers. See, folks, look. Your body is fearfully and wonderfully made. And you don't just develop cancer. Something makes the cancer develop. What is that? And I'm going to be honest with you. Ask yourself this question. If you were the medical association and you could get rich off of treating cancer, would you want to cure it? Would you want to cure it? And I'll never forget what Dr. Sherry told me 3-4 years ago. I said, Sherry, why don't doctors know this? And she said, they're not interested in that. They just read the literature. They're just going to follow the protocol because they don't want to get sued. And if they give you a protocol that's not approved of by the FDA or the medical association, they're taking a risk. So they're just going to read the literature and do what the literature tells you to do. That's why Paul Gosselin's in trouble. That's why they banned Sherry Tenpenny. That's why they took her license. Paul, is that true out there? I think I saw that you were in here. Is that what's going on? Isn't it amazing? We call it alternative medicines. Huh? You mean natural supplements? You mean natural medicine? And over the course of time, I'm 72 years old. Can you imagine the toxins and the poisons that are up inside of my body, that accumulated in my body? What does your underwear look like if you don't wash it for 72 years? Can you imagine what's inside our body? And for the most part, they give us, I'm just venting here a bit, okay? For the most part, they give us medicine that treats symptoms. I got this one medicine I'm taking. It's called, it doesn't matter what it is. Metoprolol. Paul, you know what that is? Metoprolol. Well, you read up on metoprolol. It says, it ain't good for you. It ain't good for you, but it will control your blood pressure or whatever. It ain't good for you, but it'll control it, right? And how many people are out there on blood pressure meds when maybe it's a chemical imbalance? Maybe it's a mineral imbalance. Maybe it's something that you've eaten and accumulated. Maybe you need a flush. See, when we start talking about this stuff, people think we're crazy. We're crazy. Do you have any idea how much poison you have eaten just in your everyday diet? Vinny, that's a boom. Look, I'm all over the place this morning. I don't know how. It's all over me. So I got to get it out of me. Hey, Paul, you out there? I saw you getting there again. Am I nuts, Paul?
I'm here, Coach. What's up, brother?
Huh? Am I nuts, Paul?
No, you're not nuts. Healthcare is not healthcare. It's medicine. It's a big difference, Coach.
There's a big difference in those two things, man. Those big two things. And you got in trouble when you start. Well, we won't even go into it, right? Huh? Can have you bucking the system. Can have you telling people to use nicotine. Can have that going on. Because why? It's against the establishment, man. James Thomas. Come on in, James.
Yeah. There's this big black box that's in most of our freaking houses called a television and programming. Have you watching the, probably at their nightly news, the number of pharmaceutical drugs that they push, and people who sit home and sit there and stare at this thing for 24 hours a day of this program of you're going to die if you don't take this or you're going to take that. So we can see the whole conglomerate of the kingdom of darkness working through the witchcraft of pharmakia. The television, the pushing the pharmakia, and most of the doctors, and so you see the television that's promoting it.
That's right.
It's called sorcery, and we gladly follow it. Like I think I said the day before, I have a sister-in-law who's 69, was in good health. She had some heart issues like AFib. She trusted in the doctors to do an open heart surgery, and today and Friday we're going to put her in the ground. So, you know, she was a believer in Messiah up to a point. She believed for, why is it so hard for us to believe for our salvation, but refuse to believe for our healing? I don't get it.
Yeah. Well, you know, part of the problem is we continue to poison ourselves, right? We continue to do it. Now I'm going to give you a recommendation. I trust Paul Gosling with my life. I don't care whether they pull his license. I don't care whatever. I know that guy is going to tell me the truth. He may not be able to, I mean, he doesn't have a license right now, right? But I know that he cares about me. I'm not just a guy who goes in there and your doctor does whatever. And that's why I would recommend to many of you, if you never have, find a chiropractor, a whole, what do they call them? Whole health guy who said, well, like happened to me. And I went in there, Dr. Kane, he was so concerned about me. He really, really cared about me. He took time with me. He said, Coach, you need this, and you need this, and you need to be taking this. It's holistic. It's treating the whole body, not just the symptoms. And I would just encourage some of you out there, if you're having health issues. Michelle's not saying, honey, you need to go to the doctor. I said, I ain't going to nobody but Dr. Paul. I ain't going to no doctor. But I trusted this chiropractor. And they've helped me get through this gout. Come on in, Judah.
Yeah, I'm just going to go back to the comment of the television and TV. I sound like a broken record, but there's always new people that are joining the call and they're learning for the first time. And it takes me back to my youth, where I was indoctrinated based upon the television of cable TV in the image of MTV. And so in the 80s, when cable MTV came into everyone's homes, and people didn't realize it, you know, the MTV headquarters and location is a Masonic temple in Toronto, Canada. And people don't understand that imagery and the location of it and what they're programming people for. And this is the part where medical intervention with the truths that are coming out I think it's hilarious that people call people conspiracy theorists. We need to coin a new term. And that new term should be a legal term of when someone uses the word conspiracy theorist improperly when you have the proper facts and justification to be able to prove so.
Mm.
So anybody and want to help educate us, maybe the lawyer on the line could be able to help provide maybe what the new term should be that we should coin and give to not only the Supreme Court or the justices are coming along, but this has to be turned around because conspiracy theorists are proven right.
Amen. Well, everything starts out as a theory. Everything does, right? Hey, Spence, real quickly, go to Mr. Webster and pull up doctrine. Doctrine. Because we've been indoctrinated. In means to put into. Doctrine. Doctrine. What's a doctrine? In a general sense, whatever is taught. Hence, a principle or position in any science. Think about this. We have doctors. Doctors. What do doctors teach? Why, they teach doctrines or whatever is taught. Hence, a principle or position in any science, whatever is laid down as true by any instructor or master. The doctrines of the gospel are the principles of truth taught by Christ and his apostles. The doctrines of Plato are the principles which he taught. Hence, a doctrine may be true or it may be false. Folks, they call us conspiracy theories, right? They call us conspiracy theorists. And all we're doing is questioning the doctrine that they're teaching. The doctrine is the act of teaching, learning, knowledge. And by the way, when you put I-N in front of doctrine, I-N, indoctrinate, N means to inject, to put into someone a doctrine. That's what medical schools do. They put a doctrine into the doctor. And the doctrine is what? Pills, shots. That's the doctrine. And if you don't follow the doctrine, they boot you out. Laura Ann, quickly.
Just a food for thought. Why is it whenever they speak that they're not conspiracy theorists?
Well, it says right here it is. They don't know, right? It may be true or may be false. They don't know.
We're just the crazy ones, but everything they say is true. So, you know, you can't call them a conspiracy theorist.
You remember that old crazy guy from California named Ronald Reagan? I remember him saying, trust but verify? Remember that? You blindly go into a doctor and you trust him, but you don't verify. Jed.
Yeah, Laura, I think this is great. And it really is. It's a key point in history to where the topic, the definition, when someone calls someone a conspiracy theorist and they know specifically they're using the word improperly to undermine you, it should have a legal definition. And that is that people in elected officials or doctors or people of high position that deliberately use the word to throw people off should be a crime.
Well, Jed, they used to call, say, well, I'm skeptical of that. I'm skeptical. What? Pull that up, Spencer, real quickly. Sorry, Jed, it just came to me. What does it mean to be skeptical? I mean, that's a good thing, isn't it, to be skeptical? Skeptic? What's a skeptic? Huh? I thought it was a C. A skeptic is one who doubts the truth and reality of any principle or system or principles of doctrines. I'm a skeptic. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm a skeptic. Right?
Judd's a conspiracy analyst.
Analyst. We have to change the wording. See, we have to change the word. Change the words. Change the world. I talked about that. I wrote about that a few years ago. That's where we are. Folks, we are in such a time of enlightenment. And you know what I just realized? Somebody said it at the beginning of the show. You know what's really so powerful about this? When this show is over, your mind's racing, isn't it? Huh? Your mind's racing it. because you want to know the truth, because it's only the truth that's going to make us free. See you tomorrow.